So, just turn to someone and tell them you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. You are the light of the world. So I do hope you'll come out and join. Sometimes, you know, we have the sanctuary available for you to come and just sit. If you have time to do that sometime during the day and pray, not just for the world, but for your world, for your family, your friends, speak that truth. We know the power of prayer. So hold the vibration for your loved ones, for this world, for our community, for this church. And it has a great, great impact. And I hope you'll come down to the White House, because that's a fun thing. We've done that, you know, and putting that vibration around that sacred symbol of what that really means for the free world. And so, you know, we hope you'll come and do that, or walk the labyrinth. We have a labyrinth where you can come and walk the labyrinth upstairs. There'll be prayer areas all around the church. So we hope you'll participate, because you are the light of the world. And it's time for all of us to let our light shine. You know, I've been thinking about this whole concept about the state of the world, you know, and I was wondering, what is it going to take, really, to save the world? You know, to save, don't you think the world needs a little saving? Yeah. And so I've been thinking about this, even though I was, you know, took a little time off, but it's like Richard, all the state of the events, the current state of affairs has just been kind of weighing on me. And for a moment I'm feeling, wow, this seems hopeless. It seems overwhelming. You know, we've got the Russians and the Ukraine and the Palestinians and the Jews, and we have ISIS with this horrific and barbaric expressions, and we've got Ferguson, and we have, you know, the left wing and the right wing and the Democrats and the Republicans. We have religious wars. We have race wars. We have human trafficking. We have pollution of the planet. And it goes on. And as I was thinking about all this, I could feel myself just moving into a heavier and heavier state, because all of those things has the ability to keep me feeling in a low vibration. That my gosh, what will it take? How will we ever heal this, right? How can we fix it? What can we do to change it? Especially when each group believes with their own heart and soul that they are right. Each one believes that their perspective is the one that should be honored by everybody else, right? Everyone feels that somehow or another, the way I'm living, the way I see the world, is the way everyone else should see it as well. And we're included in that as well. Or maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's about there's a group that's concerned for profit and not for people. It's how much money can our organization make, our corporation make? Does it matter that we might be polluting the planet, you know, abusing people and using them? Does it matter how much profit can we make, not people? Or maybe the reverence for life has seemed to be a minuscule thing. I remember when years ago, when you heard of someone who was killed or murdered, it was such a big thing. And now it's like, oh, well, next. You know, reverence. What happened to the reverence for life? How will we ever come together and live in peace and harmony? And is that possible? How will the highest and the best for all concerned be the order of the day? How will that happen? After all, it seems only natural to want to retaliate if you believe that you've been harmed or wronged, right? Or to take offense if you've been disrespected. Or maybe to make sure that you get yours. If there's some getting to be gotten, you want to get yours.
You know, it's only natural to feel that, or maybe to feel that your voice is heard, or that you are somehow first or at least near the top of the heap. It's only natural. It's just human nature to want to feel some of those things. Well, I've come to the conclusion that that just may be the problem. Right? When we say it's only human for me to want this or for me to do this or for me to respond that way, that may be the problem, because it might be that we are operating out of our human nature, out of our human consciousness, and we know that human nature and the human condition runs the gamut of qualities, from the very high, because the human spirit has some wonderful qualities. When there's a natural disaster, it's so heartwarming to see how various countries rise up to the occasion and send food and water and do, and yet at the very same time, we see some of the lows in human nature. So the gamut is all over the place. And sometimes, friends, trying to meet a particular situation or a circumstance based on our human nature just doesn't work. Albert Einstein said it this way. I thought he said it best when he said, "We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them." Right? Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. He's also quoted as saying, "No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it." You know, he was a metaphysician, you know. You can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created the problem in the first place. So sometimes when we are trying to see how we are going to heal the world and save the world, when we look at that perspective from a human perspective, it seems impossible. Because it's the same consciousness that created it. Right? And so it's hard to heal it and solve it from that perspective. It's going to take something different. It's going to take something more for groups of people who are opposed to one another to live in peace and harmony. It's going to take something different for people to be able to love their enemies. It's going to take something different. It's going to take a different level of consciousness to save the world and to transcend human nature or the ill effects of human nature and the human condition. Dr. King said it this way. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." And he said, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." See, those qualities, light and love, are two qualities that carry within themselves tremendous transformative energy and power. But they belong to a higher level of expression. And so we're thinking, how can we or do we access them so that we can indeed save our world? Well, I believe that the key lies in our understanding and our expressing our true nature. We have to really understand our true nature. You have heard me said, and you all know the familiar phrase that says we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe governed by what? Spiritual law. We say it, we say it, we say it. But the fact of the matter is that is the truth. And until we can really own that aspect of our nature, that we are spiritual beings, first and foremost, maybe we should just stop calling ourselves human beings and calling ourselves spiritual beings. Because when we can begin to own that truth and start living from that awareness and expressing that is what is going to save us. Now, this is easier said than done because our human nature can't do it. See, human nature can't do it because there's aspects of it, albeit it's wonderful and great, but there are aspects of our human nature that are filled with fear, false assumptions, insecurities, misguided perceptions, a lot of you and thou, them and us and versus and out here and what's happening and how can we get them away from us or draw them to us or get more. It's all this stuff that's contained in there. We can't see the other as sacred self. However, our spiritual nature is totally different. And it can do some of these things. It can move us to a higher level of consciousness. When you're coming from your true nature, which is your spiritual nature. See, the human nature is talking about human. It's talking about your physical being. We just look at the body and think this is what it is. There's a spirit that indwells and inhabits the body. It's spirit, soul, and body. But we concentrate on the, you know, maybe the soul a little bit, but mostly the body. Mostly the physical worlds, what I can see, touch, and hear, and how you look, and how you look, and how you showing up. And we forget the other aspects of ourselves. That's our true nature. When the spirit hits the soul and the soul hits the body, we go from the body trying to touch the soul and forget the spirit. Doesn't work that way. So what we're trying to do is the human, you know, you're coming from your human nature. It's not going to enable you to love your enemies. Your spiritual nature is what will enable you to do that. So what I call the enemies are your enemies. You know what I mean? When you think you have some enemies, it's really your enemies. You need to look with, right? It ain't out there. It's in here. So when I'm seeing my enemies, I need to say, what are my enemies about? What is it in me that needs healing on some level? How am I seeing things? What is the perspective that I am holding? You see, because it's actually my spiritual nature that is going to allow me to actually be able to love and to be able to become a light bearer. It's only my spiritual nature that will allow me to do that. Because my human nature is going to get in the way and some stuff's going to come up. A sense of separation will show itself, right? You're not like me. You're not me. And there it begins. Coming from my spiritual nature, I can only see me when I see you. It's a whole different vibration. When Jesus said we are the light of the world, he was certainly giving us a hint, not only into our own true nature. You are the light of the world. He didn't say you're a human being. I don't find that. He says you're the light of the world. He is giving us a hint about not only our human nature, but he's talking about the process by which we will then begin to heal and transform our world. You're the light of the world. So healing of this world has something to do with becoming a light bearer, something to do with expressing your light. So to become a light bearer, a healer, a transformer of this world means that you need to be practiced in filling yourself with light or vibrating at the speed of light, vibrating at the level of light. Remember, darkness cannot get rid of darkness. Only light can do that, right? Hate can't conquer hate. Only love can do that. So love and light are transformative energies and powers that are a very part of our nature. It's who we are that will enable us to do the healing and the transforming of this world. Listen to what the instructions and the directions we get that are given by Jesus in Luke 11. Now this is from the New Living Translation, Luke 11, 33 to 36. He says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, Your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Now, I love this particular scripture because I do think it's part of the process. He says that a lamp is not hidden. You don't put a lampshade on a lamp and hide it all and cover it and put it in a basket. He said a lamp is placed on a stand, right? So that it's placed on high. So everybody can see it. The higher you hold light, the more it, you notice, the more it spreads out, right? The greater you can see. When I have my little lantern and it's, the power's gone out, when I place that lantern on a top thing, it provides light for my room. It spreads out. So that's giving us an example that light has to be on high. It has to be held high. You have to raise it up so that others can see it. Then he goes and he equates your eye with the lamp, which means that your eye needs to be set where? On high, right? So that everybody in the house can see, so that you see from a broader perspective, you see clearer, you see further, you see deeper. So he says the eye is like is a lamp, like a lamp for your body, providing light for your body. Now your body is simply your being, not just literal physical body, but your whole level of being. So when your eye is set on high, your being is also filled with light. You have a sense of what? Well-being. You have a sense of well-seeing. So this is what it is. In other words, how you see things plays a very vital role in your experience of things. Your perspective is key. Turn to somebody and tell them, how I see it is how it is for me. How I see it is how it is for me. Now, notice I didn't say how it is. It's just simply how it is for what? For you. This is very key, but we think how I see it must be how you are experiencing it also. You mean you're not seeing it exactly like I see it? Mm-mm. How I see it is how it is for me. See, this whole thing of your eye and your seeing is very important for your well-being, for the saving of the planet, for the saving of the world, the saving of your own life. He says, when your eye is good, meaning when you are seeing, right? When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. When you can see, when your eye is good, when you can see the good, then your whole experience will be filled with good. When you can see truth, or the truth with a capital T, not your truth, but truth, right, with a capital T, then your whole being begins to express differently. When you see truth, not small truth, not relative truth, absolute truth, when you see, then all of a sudden your whole body expresses differently. When your eye is good is when you can see God. When your eye is good, you can see God. Your perspective will be an enlightened one because you'll be seeing from a higher perspective. When your eye is good, your perspective will be an enlightened one. Your actions and your responses will be coming from a totally different place, a higher perspective, a higher vibration. They'll be coming from your spiritual nature. And so how you respond when your eye is good is quite different than how you respond when your eye is bad. Now, when your eye is bad, and we all know when we have some bad eyes, right? That's when we're giving somebody the side eye. We're giving somebody a little bit of shade, right? And we all know when we're coming from that perspective. When you're not seeing it quite right, or how you're seeing it is a little off, When your eye, it says, your eye is bad, then all of a sudden, then your being is filled with darkness. Meaning that when you begin to see from a limited perspective, when you're seeing negativity and limitation and all those things, it begins to blanket your whole being. Would you ever notice that when you're in a negative state, then your whole body, everything just feels negative, right? And then when you feel negative, all you can do is see negativity. You know, you can meet people who are angry with the world and they're angry that they got to be at work and that's all they can see and that's all they express, right? When your eye is bad, you begin to experience what he would say is the fulfillment of darkness. That is, you can only see what's wrong. You can only see what's not working right. You can only see what they're not doing quite right. You can only see what causes a sense of separation. You can only see limitation or fear or doubt or blame or shame or hurt or only your side of things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your whole being becomes filled with darkness. Your actions and your responses won't be coming from a higher vibration, but from that lower vibration or from some lower human expressions or human emotions. Vengeance, violence, greed, control, survival of the fittest, dog eat dog, divide and conquer. We can't act like some of these things don't exist within the human condition, because we've seen it. We've experienced it. We have expressed it. So it all depends upon what we are seeing and how we are living that will determine what our experience will be. I love his statement that says, look, he says, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. That's a powerful one. Because don't we all think that we're enlightened? Don't we think that we see it correctly? We all think. He said, oh, don't be too sure that what you think, the light you think you have, may be actually darkness. In other words, if how you are seeing does not speak to the highest good of all concerned, it's darkness. If how you're seeing is not lifting up all of humanity, all your brothers and sisters, it's darkness. If how you are seeing is not improving the life and the quality of living as a spiritual being on this planet for every living soul and every living being, animals, the plants, the planet, if we are not lifting all of that up for everybody, the light we think we have is darkness. If what you want for me is somehow less than what you want for yourself, it's darkness, right? If you're not wanting for me, even if the good that you think you're doing for me is less than the good that you would do for yourself, it's darkness. How you treat me, if it is less than how you would treat yourself, is darkness. Sometimes people think, well, I'm doing this for their good. No, no, no. It's darkness. So we have to really understand. You know, I was in Myrtle Beach for part of my vacation. And I only got to spend about three full days there, but it was a wonderful time. But I had two very powerful experiences and some lessons for me. So, you know, I love beach. I go to Myrtle Beach because I have timeshare there. It's golf and beach, and I love both of them. I golf in the morning and beach during the evening and afternoons, and, you know, it's great. But one morning, I was just golfing, and I had a friend with me who was not a golfer, but they were just riding along, and I was golfing. Now, sometimes when you go on a golf course, they usually pair you up with other people so you have a foursome. But they let me go out by myself with my friend, so it was great. Now, when you're golfing, you do 9 holes, and then it's called, you get to what they call the turnaround. So the 10th hole is where you start the back nine of the course. Now, usually when you get to the 9th hole after you finish it, you're near the clubhouse. So people go in and they get a little snack. They grab some water or a little bit to eat, a hot dog or whatever, use the facilities, and they run back out and they get back in their carts and go to the 10th tee. Now, some people don't make the turn. They don't want to do that. So they just ride through. So what that does is that sometimes the people that were in front of you or in back of you may change at the 10th hole because some people stopped, some people didn't stop, right? So, you know, we made the stop at the turn, which meant that we were now behind some different people and in front of some different people and or actually behind different people. So because I'm one golfer, I get to a hole through a hole quicker than somebody who has, what, team of four. So I finished my hole, a 10th hole, I think it was, I don't know, it was 10th, 11th, or whatever, 12th hole. But anyway, and the people in front of us was an elderly gentleman, a woman, and two other men. And so we were finished, so we drove the cart up to the tee, and we were just waiting patiently for them to do their thing, not rushing, sitting in the cart, talking and waiting and having a good time, waiting for them to proceed and go down their field and take their time and doing that, no rushing. So while they're on the tee hitting, the woman comes over to us, and she says to me, in a sweet, loving, southern voice, she says, "So y'all just riding around?" So when I heard that, I said, "So y'all just riding around." So, you know, I'm kind of like, well, no, we're here, I'm playing golf. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm in a golf cart on a golf course with a golf hat on, with golf shoes on, and a very cute golf outfit, right? With my clubs on the back, and I'm like, y'all just riding around. What about that picture are you not getting? I was just like, I don't know what to say. I was like, no, we're playing golf. Oh, and then she's like, maybe you just caught up, we were slow or whatever, and she goes off. So my friend and I, of course, be like, I'm getting ready to get the side eye going, you know, I'm like. So we naturally had a conversation about that experience, right, because we had had one the day before, while shopping for some bathing suits, which was also a very interesting experience. Now, Myrtle Beach is in the South. It's in the Deep South, and that meaning that statement alone has a lot of meaning for people. And I'll let you figure that out. But we had a conversation about, okay, now where is that coming from? How can you miss that we're just out here golfing like you are? And so our conversation, I thought, well, you know, we could have approached it, and we thought of many different reasons, right? Now, from my human perspective, my human perspective came up with all sorts of reasons for her particular question. Some of it was, well, maybe it's just plain racism. Maybe it was a sense of entitlement. They call golf the rich man's sport. It is rather expensive. Or maybe it's just ignorance. Or whatever. And if that was the lens that I was going to choose to look through, then I would have my right to feel a sense of indignation, right? Of offense. Maybe a little outrage, and then that would be my experience. Or I could have also chosen a thought, well, she was just perplexed as to how we were able to catch up with them so quickly. And so maybe that could be a response. And then I could have assigned a benign reason to her question. Or I could have even seen it from an even higher perspective, and I could have simply just sent her light and love. Right? Send her light and love, and not just for her. My sending her light and love would not be just for her, but it would be for what? For me. So that I could remain and maintain my peace, my higher vibration, and continue to enjoy my riding around. I could have chosen that. Because you see, it's not really about her question. It's not really, it wasn't so much about that if you look at it. It's really all about my perspective. Which one was I going to choose? Any of them could have been the case. And since I didn't have time to really have a conversation with her to ask, well, where are you coming from with that particular question? I didn't have a chance to qualify it or clear it up or anything. I could have chosen anything. And the thing is that it's not about her question, but about my response. It's always about how we choose to respond. Am I meeting darkness with more darkness? Am I meeting confusion with more confusion? Am I meeting ignorance with more ignorance? Am I meeting unconsciousness with more unconsciousness? Am I meeting unawareness with unawareness within my own self? Or am I meeting it with light? The choice is always ours. What is the work that I have to do within myself to become a bearer of light? See, it's not about her. It's, am I going to be a bearer of light? Which means I have a different choice to make. What is it, the work that I need to do to bring up, to be a true change agent? See, I could have come, and can I come with a higher vibration, a higher light that just nullifies that lower vibration? See, here's the hardcore truth. You can't change anyone else. You can't change their mind. You can't change their perspective. You can't do any of that. You can only change yourself. And when your vibration is raised, it isn't that I can forcibly do something or get you to do something. I can change laws, and laws have been changed. And as we see, it's stuff underneath that needs to get healed, not the surface things, the laws. No, no, no. It's something deep that we have to do. And I believe it's how we see one another. So we have to start by first changing yourself, changing your own heart, changing your own responses and your actions and your choices. Jesus said in this last statement, he said, if you are filled with light with no dark corners, right? If you are filled, he says, if you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as if a floodlight was filling you with light. So the key is no dark corners. How are we dealing with the dark corners of our own lives? Our own fears, our own insecurities, right? I could have been very insecure and the experience the day before, I didn't respond quite as well. I let the whole vibration of shopping and, you know, this woman sending a sales girl to park herself outside the door, you know, and to say that she's helping me find what I need. Okay, but my friend was helping me find. Okay, but you want to help me find. So where I go, she goes, and where I'm like, okay. That didn't end well. I left it feeling bad. And here's the thing, not because of her actions, but because of my reaction. Because I know I could have shifted the vibration. But I met that darkness with what? With more darkness. You see, and could feel very justified in doing that. But because when you know better, You have to do what you got to do better. I know the truth. And so I was upset not at her or at the manager. No, it was me that I didn't respond in the way that I know to respond as a light bearer. I could have changed that whole consciousness about how you see me. But that was a lesson. So the next day, see, this is what the universe does. It always gives you another opportunity. So when I'm on the golf course, I just choose a whole different vibration. Right? I choose to be a light bearer. I choose to just bless it and let it be. I enjoyed my golf. I played better than the day before anyway. It was great. You see? So we always have choices. Working on oneself. And here's the thing, friends. We have to have a spiritual revolution on this planet. That is the only thing that is going to save us. It's when we come from a spiritual perspective, when I see you as a spiritual being, not a human being, not someone with a particular culture, not someone with a particular ethnicity, not someone with a particular gender, not someone with a particular lifestyle, but when I see you as God sees you, as a spiritual being, is when this world will be healed and transformed. And when everybody begins to do that, see, when everybody awakens, and this is a spiritual thing that has to happen. A spiritual awakening is something that has to happen to you and in you and through you. We talk about it, but very few of us are spiritually awakened, although it's happening. It's happening. It's light bearers. It's happening. I feel the shift in me. I can see myself. Because it's happening in me, I can see when I have slipped off and when I am in my right and perfect expression. I can see it, and I can do something about it. I can catch it in time. See, I can choose, actively choose to be a conscious light bearer. I can choose to love you. When I get to my enemies, I'll say I have no enemies. But my enemies, when I feel secure in who I am, I can love who you are. I can see who you are. This is what is going to save our world. When we raise our own vibration, when we heal our own dark corners, when we see ourselves as spiritual beings and others as the sacred, not even the sacred other, but my sacred self. There is no other. There is no other. There's only the self. There's only us. No us and them and you and me. There is only one presence and one power in the universe, and that is God, the good, omnipotent. And that is what is happening for each of us. And so when you become a light bearer and you fill yourself with light, you will not have to worry about how can you try to love your enemies. There will be no trying. It'll be, as Yoda said, there'll just be some doing. See, that's the vibration. Right now, the human mind cannot fathom how we could love the opposite, how I can love the enemy. Can't do it. But from a spiritual perspective, all that dissipates, it all fades into light, into truth. So can I see you as I see myself? Can I see you as God sees you is the question. And I just say that we want to be able to see one another. God is all there is. I see you. Namaste. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste.